Hey everybody, welcome to the Warfing Grid. I'm Jake.
And I'm Josh.
And today we are watching episode 493 of Power Rangers Ninja Storm, episode 35, A Gem of a Day.
It aired on October 18th, 2003, written by Anne Canapp and directed by Charlie Haskell.
I wonder if she is related to Alexis Knapp, who is an actress who was in Pitch Perfect.
I couldn't tell you.
I'll have to do a Google on my own time. She played Stacy.
Wait, did we determine was Knapp or Austin the maiden name?
I think Austin is the maiden name because it changed to that. It used to be Austin, but then it changed to Knapp.
Okay.
I don't know. And we're so far ahead, no one has told us if they've done the legwork.
Right. Because we're certainly not.
So, like, in, like, 2 weeks, someone will be like, oh, it's this way. They will be like, oh, okay, well, we're done recording the season. So, thanks. If you're new here, what we do is we pause the recording. We go watch an episode of Power Rangers. We come back. We talk about it. You can follow along if you got Netflix or the DVDs. And you should, because Ninja Storm's pretty good. The two-parters have left a little bit to be desired, but I still like the characters a lot.
Yeah, I was thinking about this either yesterday or this morning. It's hard to tell because it's all kind of the same.
I mean, your yesterday was still this morning.
Yeah.
Technically, so.
But I was thinking about it, and I was like, man, we're nearing the end. After we watch this episode today, we'll have three left.
Yeah, the home stretch.
And then we'll be switching over to Dino Thunder, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And I was like, man, I don't know if I'm going to miss Ninja Storm the show very much, but I'm definitely going to miss the Ninja Storm Rangers a lot.
I was thinking the same thing, because today, before we started recording, I was like, all right, what are we watching? You know, Gem of a Day. Okay, whatever that's going to be about, it's going to be about. But we have had a lot of episodes. It's probably not going to, even though it's not part of a two-parter, it's probably not going to be an episode just about, like, Tori and Dustin getting groceries and a monster being, you know? Like, yeah. It's not going to be anything like that.
They
because,
have to
like,
fight
we're so
Gem Face.
Yeah, because we're so close to the end of the season. It's not just going to be, like, this fun one-off. And I was like, I really think we could have gotten a lot more out of the characters by doing that, but we're too deep in the paint now and we have to wrap up. So I am going to miss them. It's sort of, I don't know if it's the opposite problem as Wildstorm or Wild Force, where I didn't necessarily like anybody but Taylor and Alyssa for the most part.
Yeah.
And Cole,
yeah,
towards
Alyssa,
the end.
Alyssa was likeable enough, but not like, she's not like a standout character if you put her on any other season.
No, she was a real solid hand. She was a B-plus player. But, you know, when everybody else is getting straight D's except for Taylor, then, like, that's pretty good, you know? So I was like, I don't know, because I feel like Wild Force has the most potential that they, like, missed out on. But at the same time, like, I don't know if it's the same for Ninja Storm or if it's just like, oh, I just like the character so much, I want more for him, which I think might be the case.
Yeah.
Because they're all very good kids. Anyway, we're going to go watch A Gem of a Day right now.
Ninja Storm Ranger Form. Back, and we just watched A Gem of a Day, and I had a gem of a time trying to stay awake watching it. So sorry about half of the quality of this episode, that half being mine.
I didn't think it was that boring. Sometimes you're just sleepy, you know?
Yeah, it's just sometimes you get in a certain position on the couch and Tucker gets in your lap, so you can't move from that position, and it's a real sleepy position. I did pick up one thing, though. I said Anne Knapp at the top of the episode was the writer.
Yes.
But the credit on the episode, I looked this time, was Anne Austin.
Okay.
So
that seems to confirm that maidenly she was Anne Austin, and then she got married to be Anne Knapp. But actually, if I think about it, it could go either way.
Yeah. It also confirms that whoever's editing the Wikipedia page, there's some wires getting crossed.
So yeah, someone's messing something up somewhere. Well, who knows? The mystery continues. Yeah. Hey, jakeandjosh.com. That's the website. You can go there. You can go listen to old episodes of the show. We also have classic feeds. One of them Or there might be a new one, a new archive feed. Is that what we decided on?
I think it's just going to be the called archive. Yeah.
Okay. So we'll probably put a, like a little short thing in all the classic feeds and be like, hey, go find the archive. Just like upload like a 1 minute, like, hey, there's a new thing that's better. It's got everything from the first 10 seasons except for the bonus stuff. But you knew that.
Right.
You can add stuff to that, right? So you can drop in the...
I can, yeah.
Okay. So you can drop over, in the turbo time, episodes and the...
Over time, it'll be an all-encompassing thing. But until that time... Until that time. It's just... It's a work in progress. But all the episodes are there, minus numbers and descriptions. But that's step one, so...
Yeah. Step one is currently stepping... On step one.
Yes, I guess technically we're on step two, because step one is the feed exists and you can plug it into your podcatcher right now.
Step one is hope someone else makes it. And that, hey, nailed it. Someone did. Thank you, Sizzle. You're the best. Step two is us clean it up so that it you can look at it and see what you're looking at. Step three, you get the khakis. Step four, you get the chicks. Step four,
get the chicks.
So you can go check that out. You can email us at littleidiots.morphingrid@gmail.com. We're on Twitter at morphingrid. We're on Earth Podcasts. We're on Google Play. We're on Podknife. We're on Podbay. We're on Podbay B. We're on Podgem. That's only the best ones. These are the gem. These are just the best podcasts. So I don't know if we're actually on Podgem. I like to think we are.
I think probably from Zio onwards.
Yeah, so our first 150-ish episodes never made it to Podgem.
Season 3 might be, but season 2 is just us going, oh, this season sucks.
Season 1
is us figuring out how podcasts
how
work.
You do. I was just like looking through the archive on heyjakeandjosh.com a little while ago, just like clicking on random episodes like in the Mighty Morphin stuff to see what it was like. We didn't have a format to like start the show for like 100 episodes.
That's a long time.
I genuinely don't know when we started doing I start odds, you start evens, which if you haven't figured out the secret sauce of the show yet, that's it. I don't think we started that until Zio, which is about 150 episodes into the podcast. So sometimes it takes a while to get where you're going, but you can go there. You just gotta keep at it. You just got to do it enough times and you figure out what's good. And you can leave us a rating and review on any of those places. We're also on Patreon, patreon.com/HeyJakeAndJosh. For as little as $1 a month, you can help support the show. You can get some early episodes, most episodes, mostly you get our everlasting love and affection for helping us keep the lights on and eat and stuff. So
very important.
Important things that we like and that we like about you also. Josh, is a Monday episode.
Yeah.
Do you want to jump in?
I do.
All right. Now, do you remember when you fell asleep? Do you remember any of your quick PDD naps that you took?
It wasn't that I fell asleep. It's that I would nod off and then, like, think things would happen in the episode. And then when I, like, came back around, that was not a thing that actually happened.
So you had little micro dreams filling in the gaps of the episode, is what you're saying.
At some point, Cam was on a spaceship.
That does happen.
But he was not morphed, and he poked his head out of, like, a little hatch.
That did not happen.
Because when I opened my eyes, he was in a shuttle and he was fully morphed. So it's going to be fun. You're going to get a little mix of what did happen and maybe what didn't happen.
I'm excited. So here's a fun game everyone gets to play along at home, which is write down Josh's lies and try to and let us know how many of them are wrong.
Don't at me.
Because here's the other thing, just at the Morphin Grid, don't at either of us personally, just at the Morphin Grid, the show, we know what we did.
Me specifically, I know what I did.
I lost internet with like 4 minutes to go, and so I had to wait like 10 to 15 minutes between, you know, minute 16 and minute 20 before I could watch the rest of the 4 minutes. So maybe I also forgot a little bit what happens. My notes are also a little shaky in some points because like a lot of stuff happened, but like, I don't know if it was necessarily like very dense, just like I kept writing stuff down and I don't know if I needed to.
I feel like we say this every time. Every time it's like a lot of stuff happened, full stop. We say that every episode, and then it's either you took a lot of notes or you didn't take a lot of notes.
Yep.
Either way, a lot of stuff happens.
So, well, they're just denser episodes, you know? The ones that have a lot of fighting are not. But, like, by and large, I think I said this, like, early on into the season. Like, the amount of – I take about double the amount of notes – or not double, but, like, 1.5 times the amount of notes that I did for Ninja Storm than I did for Wild Force. Because Wild Force, nothing happened. Everyone was stupid and nothing happened. Like, that was the whole show. And this one, like, the characters do a lot of talking and they move things forward all the time. And it's, like, good. So I just write stuff down more. So I just want to get a lot of that out because I did the work, you know. So I might as well talk about it. Speaking of talking about it, we start off on Hunter doing a dirt bike. Just some dirt biking in some hills. Hey, here's a fun thing I don't think we've talked about too much this season. Is now that they shoot in New Zealand, the scenery is gorgeous.
Yeah.
They just found this, like, really pretty hill with some trees in it. There's a nice rock to sit on.
And they were like, go tear that up with your dirt bike.
And they go rip some donuts in there, bro. And he's like, hell yeah, I will. But, like, in Mighty Morphin, it was like, cool, they're at the park again. They went back to the park. Another quarry, all right. Like, like, three places they went. And now they're like, hey, we're in one of those beautiful places in the world. Look, here it all is.
Yeah, even the beaches from Mighty Morphin to this one are drastically different.
The beaches in Mighty Morphin were like, all right, where is nobody else in Southern California? Oh, there, no one's at the crappy rocky beach. Yeah, we're filming.
It's just a bunch of boulders that lead into the ocean. Perfect. Put Jason and his cousin there to hang out.
That's where they're gonna go fishing for bees or whatever.
Bulk's gonna lay on a rock and Skull's gonna rub mayonnaise on his back. Like, yeah.
Which I feel like would just amplify. You would turn into spam. It would cook it you would like your spam.
It would be so gross. It would smell so bad. It would be so terrible. Bad.
The smell would be awful.
Unbearable.
So he's having a flashback. He sits down on a big rock and he's having a flashback about training as a kid and his parents being ghosts and talking to him. And then, like, the Gem of Souls being broken apart and him using it to blast Lothor. I think that was so long ago. And, like, just that whole episode from – that was episode, like, 9, maybe. So it's been a minute. So they give us a lot of flashback about that. I do love when his parents are like, don't worry about us. Okay, bye. And they leave, and that's it. That's all they do for their sons that they are seeing now as adults for the first time.
Yeah. And Hunter spends this episode worrying about them.
Yeah. So then we cut to Cam, who's got a Ghostbusters PKE meter and some weird goggles looking for a radiation surge. He's, like, scanning out in the desert, and his dad's like, all right, well, be careful. He's like, I'll be fine. And, like, I mean, there's radiation around, so you're not wearing any protective equipment besides goggles. So maybe be careful, Cam.
Yeah, he's got his sweet hacker glasses on.
Yeah, they're, like, they flip down, and they have, like, circuit boards for lenses. It's so weird. So he finds Hunter, and he's like, he goes up to, like, Hunter, who gets startled and, like, flips him over, and he's like, well, it's me. He's like, oh, sorry, Cam, what's up? Cam's like, what are you doing out here? And he's like, I could ask you that. And he's like, I'm looking for radiation or whatever. And he's like, oh, maybe it's this. And he pulls out half of Zurgane's sword. He just pulls one out. He's like, I found it. Look what I found.
Because he was, like, digging around under the rock, and Cam is like, hey, what did you drop? But we never saw him pick up the sword piece.
No, unless he had it. So we will find out that this sword means nothing. I thought the sword was going to do something later. And I was like, oh, the sword could work for that. But they were like, no, it will not.
Well, the other thing about this season is that it might. They have it now. And so they might use it later.
That's true. So he's like, oh, yeah, maybe that's it. And then we cut away to the spaceship where Lothor yells at Vexicus for killing Zurgane. He's like, you killed my number one general.
You killed my number one customer.
You killed my number one customer. And Vexicus is like, maybe he wasn't your number one customer. He did always fail all the time. And basically just talks around being in trouble. And eventually Lothor's like, yeah, you're right. And I did say it was his last chance. Well, I guess you don't also let me down and we'll be fine. And, like, that's about as far as it goes.
Yeah, he's like, you better have a plan for me by the end of the day. And then Vexigus pulls out a scroll with a plan on it.
Yeah. He's like, what's up? I got this cool plan right now. And he's like, oh, dope. Let's go do the plan then. Why aren't you doing the plan right now? He's like, well, the plan needs one more piece. I need a piece to the plan. So I'm going to go down there. I'll bring it there. Fix it down there. And bring it back here. He's like, all right, sounds dope. And when you do the plan that's going to destroy the Power Rangers, let me know so I can set the VCR on the viewer thing so we can tape it.
Yeah.
Kids watch this show on Netflix now, and he's like, so I can set the VCR. And they're like, Mom, what's that?
Well,
what's a VCR?
Be like, well, you know how on Sling TV you can set a show to record and it'll save it? It's like that, but you had to do it on a whole separate thing. And you could only record about an hour and a half if you're lucky.
3 hours if you were pushing, if you got the high-end tapes.
Yeah, if you slow that record speed down, you can get a whole RAW on one tape.
Ayy. And yeah, you gotta put it on a tape. What's a tape? Never mind. Just go back to watching Netflix, kid. So he leaves to go get the one last thing. Lothar's like, Motor Drunk, come over here. Mojo's like, yeah, what's up, sir? And he's like, go watch him, because I don't trust him as far as I can smell him, and I know he's up to something. He already killed one of my generals, so I'm going to send you, my second general, to watch him now that he's my default number one. Shimazu is right there. Like, right there.
Plays no part in any of this episode other than he goes like, ooh, one
he's
time.
Like a hype man later. Like, later he's the Flava Flav to Vexigus's Chuck D. But he's also in league with Vexicus and is just listening to these plans, and it doesn't really come up. It's sort of, maybe it's implied that it comes up because like it, this problem does get solved in a way. And so maybe maybe Shimazu did that, but like, doesn't seem like he does much in this. Good thing we made him not a statue anymore.
Yeah. So glad that we have six generals.
Yeah. And it's like, I feel like there's a, like they could have done something to make it matter. Like, if they would have all been competing to try to get number one generalship, kind of like what the all the demons were doing in Lightspeed, where they were like trying to be number one kid for Banshira.
Yeah,
or whatever was her name. Banshira,
it was.
Okay, but like, instead they just all like hang around until Lothar tells one of them to do something. That's it. Like, there's nothing else that they do proactively until like this episode with Vexicus. Also, at some point, Lothar's like, where are my nieces? And everyone's like, we don't know. And he's like, Chubo, go find them. So he leaves to go do that. We come back to the Power Rangers. They are watching Sam.
Yep.
That's satellite cam, because Cam's watching satellite footage. So my brain was like, yeah, put all these letters together. Everyone will be cool with it. Cam is watching satellite air quotes, satellite footage. It's just the last episode of Power Rangers Ninja Storm. It's not from a satellite. It's from a camera guy that was there. And he watches Vexicus destroy Zergane.
Whose satellite did he hack to get this video?
All of them. Well, he mentioned it like early on that he hacked like the cops' closed circuit TVs, like their like security cameras around the city. So like, I imagine he's just like, yeah, it's the government's. I just hacked all the Pentagon's satellites.
Some help they are during all this.
Right? Man, too real, huh?
Don't we have them for alien attacks? What the hell's going on?
I don't know. I mean, we released a bunch of like alien stuff recently, and we're like, we're too busy right now. We can't worry about aliens, too.
Yeah, the world's on fire. Like, give us aliens next year.
Someone's like, we found this, like someone, some satellite found this like giant cube in space. It's like 10 times the size of Earth. And everyone's like, whatever. I don't, like, bring it. Come here. I dare you, aliens. It's really bad down here. It's not going to go well for you.
Well, yeah, they're social distancing right now.
Yeah. They're like, we're going to wait until whatever's going on down there is sorted out, and then we'll maybe show up. But if we go now, statistically, we will get coronavirus, and we do not have any immunities to it, even less than they do. So I saw War of the Worlds. I know how that broke bad for the Martians.
Wait, did they just get sick?
They got sneezed on, basically, and because they didn't have any immunity to our germs, they died. It's very clever, but also kind of boring. Kind of a boring end to, like, this thing.
That's why you should wear a mask. Because if you sneeze on a Martian and you have a mask on, the Martian will be okay.
Yeah, unless the only instance where it's okay to not wear a mask is if you are trying to kill the evil Martians and you need them to get sick. in which case Josh and I will be on the front lines just sneezing and coughing away.
Oh, yeah.
I think just your allergies alone would take out.
Oh, if I'm good at anything, it's standing in the sun and sneezing.
Yeah.
So bring it on. If it's a rainy day, I can cough. we'll be fine.
Sensei, so they're like, okay, why would Tori's like, by the way, Tori with the good hair this episode, just in case. So for people keeping track, another great hairdo by Tori this episode. She's like, I don't like Zergain, but Vexigus killing him seems pretty raw, right? And they're like, yeah. And then Dustin's like, maybe they'll all just kill each other and we won't have to worry about it. And Sensei says, well, maybe, Dustin, but I think something more sinister is going. Lothor's planning something more sinister, which, let me tell you, Sensei, I was just up there with Lothor, and he isn't.
He's got no plan.
He has no plans anymore. His plan is, what's your plan? You don't have a plan? Die. What's your plan?
He started off so good, and now now he's just a kind of a bumbling idiot.
I feel like this is like the Zed coefficient, right? Is when the bad guy is too good, eventually they just have to kind of devolve into like a dum-dum.
He started with a plan, you know? We gotta let them get all powered up, and then we kill him.
Yeah, and then that was, they were like, that someone somewhere said, I don't think that makes sense. And they're like, well, instead of explaining it, we'll never talk about it again.
Yeah, now he's just impatient and wants them dead right now.
Yeah, where specifically, he was extremely patient at the start.
Yeah.
So, not a fan of that. In general. So Sensei's like, all right, you need to, so here's what we need to do. We need to start being proactive about this whole the aliens are trying to kill us thing. We need to go get all the other ninja students trapped into boba balls up on the spaceship. We need to get them back. And yes, Sensei, it's about time. That's the plan. Those kids have been stuck in a boba ball for like 30 weeks now.
Yeah, I don't know why that wasn't what they were trying to do this whole time.
They never once were like, oh man, you know how we had friends? Like, you know, Doug is still stuck in a boba ball. We should do, not it's once until four episodes ago, they finally decided maybe we should do something about it.
Because at some point in this episode, Hunter's going to be like, hey, every one of those kids that's stuck up there, someone down here misses them. It only took us 6 months, I guess, to figure it out. Because right now, they're not... They haven't proactively been doing anything. They've just been reactively defending Earth.
Yeah, which is you know, to be fair, that's what Power Rangers have done.
It is, but
the whole time.
Usually all of their school isn't trapped in boba balls on a spaceship.
But like Rita didn't come down and like she vacuum up everyone in Angel Grove High.
She took the parents once and they got them back in that episode.
And they were like, well, we're going to get our parents now. And they're like, well, what about this? But there's like a drill guy. And Tommy's like, I'll kill the drill guy. You get the parents back. And everyone's like, all right, cool. And then they did that. But so as soon as something happens like that, Rangers, historically, asterisk, Leo was fine with not helping people.
Oof.
But, you know, that's Leo. Everybody else is like, all right, let's go do it. Except apparently these Ninja Rangers are like, well, hold on. What if we don't? So they're like, we can't just go up onto the spaceship. Blake says, like, it's really hard to get up there. Trust us. Because the way we used to have to do it, we had like a key or something to the spaceship. So we could go in, but we don't have that anymore because he doesn't like us anymore, obviously. And so they're like, we're going to need like a big energy source to like bust through the energy field. And Hunter's like, leave it to me. So we cut to him back by his sitting rock and gets a little baggie that he had kind of dug under the ground. It's a little like leather baggie. It's got some dice in it probably. So he uses dice. And then Vexigus is there, and he's got corn cob tron.
What?
I tried saying Condortron.
Corn cob. I think we're going corn like, cob tron.
Everybody was like, I'm pretty sure you mean corn cob tron. So Vexigus is there with corn cob tron, and he's like, well, time to die. Give me that little bag. I knew you had that little baggie, and I want it. And so he morphs, and they fight, and eventually.
So it's implied that Vexigus built this big Condor robot, right?
Yes, that's definitely what it seems like, because he had plans for it earlier, like blueprints, kind of. So
I do have a question.
Sure.
I don't know if I slept through this or not.
Okay.
What was the piece that Vexicus had to go get? Did we see any of that?
It is what's in the baggie.
Oh, it's just the baggie. Okay.
Yeah.
Right, so that's what we're seeing right now. Okay.
Yeah. So he needs to see it to like jack up Corncob Tron to like the moon, you know?
Right.
To like
get him swole.
Make him make super swole. So they start fighting. The Cam sees that Hunter is being just tossed around by Corncob Tron. And so he's like, all right, everyone, we need to go help him. So everybody morphs. They do the whole thing, the Ninja Storm, Thunderstorm, Samurai Storm. I know we've talked about this a lot, but it's too much.
Yeah, man.
It's just
I hope,
too much.
I hope Dino Thunder is all just the same. Because they start with three, right?
They start with three, but then they get a fourth one, and then they get a fifth one, and they're like separate entities. So I'm kind of worried we're going to get another like Dino Thunder.
Sell Stego Morph Thunder. Calls.
No. It doesn't work.
Just do Morphin Time. Just they should all just be Morphin Time.
It's the best one. It's the best call. It's not even close. So they drive their big truck there because they can't teleport. Asterisk, they can definitely teleport. Later, they are teleporting all over the place.
And they've teleported before.
They teleported before. This time, they got to drive there to let Hunter get beat up a little more.
If they don't blatantly teleport, they ninja hop.
Yeah.
So,
but
like,
this time, they wanted to drive.
Was this a toy? Was this big truck a toy?
I mean, it had to have been, right? Because like, where else are you going to put the tsunami cycles besides in your big tsunami truck?
That's right. they're all just rattling around and they just throw them all in the back.
You flip it over, they all scatter.
I bet they don't even fit. I bet the tsunami cycles are too big to fit in the tsunami truck.
Depending on the size of it, it would be a big truck, probably. I don't know, maybe you're right.
For them to still be... the cycles to still be sized to play with the Ranger figures?
Yeah.
Yeah. That would be a massive truck.
It'd be a big truck.
You need to park it outside. So,
in a spot. And your mom would have to get it.
In a visitor parking spot.
Your mom would have to come get it and bring it inside.
It's just a power wheel. I love my mom.
Your mom's great. So eventually, the Power Rangers make the save. They shoot Corncob Tron before he can kill Hunter or whatever. I do want to point out that Cam is riding on the back of Shane's bike, which I thought was adorable. Because he's like, hey, I got to get there too. And I can't just drive the big truck up. That doesn't make any sense. We brought the truck out here for the bikes.
It's overkill if I fly my whole Zord in.
Yeah. So he's like, I'll just ride with you, Shane. Let's
put your pecs on.
Which is, oh, that would have been so dope, right? Which is good, because I feel like in a lot of other seasons, they'd be like, all right, Tori, you're going to ride in the back, and I'll drive your bike.
Yeah.
And I feel like a lot of seasons would absolutely be like, actually, I'll drive. You can sit on the back, and I'll drive this one, because I'm a boy, and you're not, and that matters to Power Rangers. But I'm glad they didn't. I'm glad he just rode with Shane. Motodrone shows up with a bunch of Zackies, and Vexicus is like, hey, what's up? And he's like, shut up, I'm here to help, or whatever. So there's a big fight. There's more fight. Eventually, Corncob Tron flies away.
So, back on the ship, Lothor told Motodrone, hey, follow him and don't get caught. Don't let him see you.
Just watch him. Be careful.
And so he teleports in with an army directly in front of Vexicus.
On his motorcycle.
On his motorcycle.
Yep.
Very inconspicuous.
What's even better is the end of this fight where he basically just gives away the whole game. So Hunter summons his glider bike to chase after Corncob Tron. He goes to like fly at him, but Corncob Tron just like kicks Hunter's whole bike in the front and sends him flying into a big purple explosion, which looks gnarly. And Blake screams for Hunter because he's like worried his brother is dead now. So that's some good voice acting by Jorgito. We go to commercial, we come back. Hunter's like, oh, I'm okay. He's very much hurt, but he's like not dead. So, you know, call it a net even. Then Motodrone dips. Now that, like, things are kind of calmed down, Motodrone's like, he looks at Vexicus and is like, by the way, I'm watching you. And then disappears. So now he knows, well, now I got to kill Motodrone. Vexicus is like, well, that's the next guy I need to murder now. Because, obviously. So, like... Come on, Motodrone. You did this to yourself. But now, it's Vexicus versus the Power Rangers.
You know who Motodrone looks like?
Green Goblin.
Did we say that about this? Oh, good.
In his first episode, I called him Gold Goblin exclusively because he's just straight up Green Goblin.
Yeah.
He even has the blankie when he's like pretending to be a lady, like an old lady in the fire later. Like, dude, that's the same thing.
Spider-Man 1 is such a movie.
It's such a, it is, the whole thing is such a movie. So we get more spaghetti lasers. I don't know if you remember the bad joke about spaghetti last time. He does that again, but this time he's just like, time, I'm the puppet master now.
Yeah, he's like, I'm pulling the strings, and he shoots the spaghetti lasers out.
Yeah.
And he lifts them up.
And sorry, bud, those are spaghetti lasers. I don't know what you planned on calling them forever, Vexicus, but you made a dumb spaghetti joke last time, and you got to live by that. So he throws him around. He grabs Cam and throws Cam on the ground, then picks Cam up and throws Cam back on the ground. They're like, stop throwing Cam around. And he's like, fine. So then Blake and Hunter attack him. Blake goes to hit him with like the beetle antlers or whatever.
He says antlers, and I don't know if that's the correct term. I feel like they're just their horns when they're on a bug.
I
feel like what he actually has are mandibles.
Mandibles or pincers, maybe?
Yeah.
But like, I know one of, I don't know which one it is. I'm not a beetleologist. I'm not a bug doctor. But I know one of them is called a stag beetle, and stags do have antlers, so I can see the lines. But I don't think that's what these are called. But it doesn't matter because they get blocked, and then Hunter shoots Vexicus, and it doesn't do anything. And he like pushes Blake off, and then disappears. And like, whoa, where'd he go? And then maybe that's later. I think it's towards the end of the fight. We're going to come back to that. Real quick, two other things. He has a very cool sword that he pulls out. Like his big shark, like spiky serrated sword. Looks pretty dope.
Yeah, much cooler than the battle fan that he used to kill Zergain with
last time. Yeah, maybe he's just showing off, I guess. Also, they try to do a shadow battle to him where they're like, ninja shadow battle. And like they fight him in shadows and they win, but they don't. They lose handily. Yeah, I think Dustin gets punched through the...
Yeah, he fends all of them off and he kicks Dustin so hard that it breaks the shadow wall.
That's pretty great. That's pretty good, actually. So then, yeah, so they go back to... So back to the Beatles fighting him. He pushes him off and he disappears and he jumps back up and he's like, land shark. And a giant shark robot, which might be his spaceship... just like peeks halfway out of the ground and runs into them like a street shark. And it's radical. Yeah. This is great. This is a great. Where's this guy been the whole time? Should have killed Zergain like 12 episodes ago when you showed up.
It's so weird that when he got here, when he was chasing Shane's karma.
Yeah.
To get the muscle butt suit for himself. He was like this intergalactic evil bounty hunter who just like looks for treasures that he can get more power with.
Yeah.
And he's like a rival to Lothor, and now he's just a general to him. And like he's like a Starscream.
You called it. You definitely called it in that episode that you're waiting for the Starscream to happen, and it's now. It's happening now.
Yeah, I started last episode when he killed Zergain. It's just weird for him to like take orders from Lothor.
I think I want to give him the BOTD because of how dope he's being right now. Like in that he's like, I'm going to buy my time. I'm going to let him feel like he's got the upper hand.
If there's anything he's good at, it's standing back and waiting.
it's really like, all right, hold on. Wait a minute, actually. So they don't win and Vexicus doesn't lose, but they do leave. They do just leave. I don't know if there's a transition. We just cut right to them like at the ninja ops, and someone says something about a gem. And oh no, this is before this. They just like take this is what happens before they leave. He's like, I'm gonna get that gem. Vexicus is like, I'm gonna get that gem. And I guess maybe he does leave. And everyone takes their mask, their like helmet visors down, and look. They're like, "What's he talking about, Hunter?" Because he like pointed at Hunter when he said it. And then we cut from there to the ninja ops, and everyone's like, "Hey, Hunter, what's up? What's up with that? What's going on?" And he's like, "Well, this isn't my dice bag. This is actually two parts of the gem of souls." And Blake's like, "What the fuck, man? Like, what do you mean you still have those?"
He says two pieces, but I swear when he pulled the little string and the baggie opened, there were three gem pieces in it.
I thought there was like five in there when he opened it. A while back, I distinctly remember there being like five that they had, and then when Cam threw him into the ocean, there was only like four lights.
Yeah.
Or maybe there was four that he had and there was only three lights. I thought there was some discrepancy, but maybe it was there was five and there's only three lights. And so that's why there's two left. And also I called that too. So gotcha, Hunter. I thought Cam was going to have taken them. So I was wrong on that, but I still thought they were going to come back. He's like, yeah, I kept two of them. And every once in a while I would go to that sit and rock and I would try to talk to my parents. And it never happened, I guess, because I feel like he would mention that to his brother, Blake.
Yeah.
Because he doesn't mention it. He says something like, the longer I waited, the harder it was to just bring up that, like, hey, I had the Gem of Souls still, actually, you know? And I was like, I do kind of get that.
Yeah.
Hunter. But at the same time, like, that's your brother's parents, too. I feel like he should know. Because how crappy would it be if he's like, oh, yeah, I've been talking to mom and dad this whole time with the Gem of Souls. And Blake was like, oh, okay, cool. You've just been doing that by yourself. Awesome. Thanks, bro. This is when he mentions, like, he misses parents, and now all the ninjas that are trapped on the spaceship, someone misses them. So we got to use the Gem of Souls to get them back. So he gives them to Cam. And, like, hell yeah, Hunter. Like, this is very nice of you.
Yeah.
I think what he did was, like, ill-advised. I don't know if it was exactly wrong to, like, hide these extremely powerful artifacts just, like, near a rock out in the open.
Right.
1 inch underground, you know?
Yeah, just, like, one mitt of dirt over it.
Yeah, and, like, not tell your brother or anybody else. But, like, as soon as he's, like, well, now that it's out in the open, like, we should use him for good. And I like that. So good job, Hunter. Come back to the spaceship. Lodo's like, did you find my nieces yet? And Chubo's like, yeah, I found them. They're working on a plan to take over the world, but it's a secret.
I slept through this part. I don't remember any of this.
Oh, yeah. So he's like, we don't see it. We never go to them. Lodo's like, take me to them right now. So they leave. And then Motor Drone was near there, and he was like walking behind them. So they like peel off, and Vexica stops him and is like, hey. So you're watching me? What's that about? He's like, I'm just following orders, man. And he's like, yeah, that's what Zergain was doing before I killed him too. But he doesn't say, like, he doesn't actively threaten him. It's all vague threats. And it's kind of nice. I do kind of like it.
Yeah.
I do also really like Shimazu just being like, yeah, what he said. Like, right behind him, doing nothing important, but just being like, yeah, Vexicus. Gim.
Like, yeah, boy.
Yeah, boy. Just being like the dopest hype man he can be. I think it's a bad use of Shimazu in general, but like he's not doing anything else right now, so like why not?
Yeah, I don't know what else to do with him. It's super weird that he became a general because I really felt like he was just a monster for the episode he was in. And then they kept him.
I think maybe he was a general because I know that like I think we've talked about this, that, like, in Hurricanger, there's no big bad. Like, the big bad is, like, the idea of evil, and, like, everyone is trying to get, like, to beat the Hurricangers. So there's a bunch of different kinds of bosses, and I feel like he was probably one of them. But he shows up pretty late in the game and does, like, two things that make me think that, like, oh, maybe he was supposed to stick around. But other than that, like, he could have just not stuck around.
A lot of it for me is that, like, they turned a thing into him. And then, like, that's what you do for monsters. It's not what you do for generals.
Because, they're like his spirit was trapped in this likeness of his mask. And that made him a monster. But it also seemed like he was, like, a regular human man before.
Yeah.
So, like, that's weird.
This is a really strange case.
Yeah. And then they didn't really do anything with him. He just plays hype man for, like, literally the whole time up until now. Like, I don't think he's been in charge of anything, you know, until, like, last episode where he was in charge of asking Vexicus if he was sure they should just stand there. Anyway, we cut back to the Power Rangers after some vague threats. Cam is morphed. He has his helmet off, but he's morphed. And he's like, all right, I'm going to go break the energy shield with my new cool toy. It's like a drill ship. You know, it's got two little drills on it. Apparently, there's a gem, a soul gem on each of the drills to puncture the energy field. He's like, I'm going to fly up there, pop the shield, get in there, give you the coordinates. You're going to teleport up. It's going to be dope. And they're like, oh, yeah, awesome. And Tori's like, hey, be careful. And he's like, why does everybody keep telling me that? And she's like, hey, man, just be careful. But also, it's pretty cute. The chemistry between these two is pretty palpable. And every single episode, yeah. I'm like, should have been them.
It's never explored.
Nope, not even. There's a little kiss on the cheek, which is more action than Blake has gotten, to be fair.
Yeah, Blake, I feel like she forgets she likes him a lot.
Maybe. I feel like maybe she likes somebody else.
It seems that way.
And then, but so she's like, yeah, Blake, cool.
Yeah, I guess we'll sit on the beach, whatever. Yeah. Whatever Cam's doing right now.
Yeah, hey, well, we can play. We can have this cute little surfboard fight. Yeah, that's as far as it's going to go, though, probably, bud. Sorry. So we cut to Lothor, who sees Cam flying up in his new cool little toy ship, and he's like, Zergane! Ah, oh, Zergane's not here anymore, is he? Okay. Vexicus! Thought that was a good joke. Thought the joke landed on that one. So he calls. He's like, Vexicus, my nephew is trying to do something. And he's like, oh, well, you must be very proud of him. And he's like, shut up. Just like, make sure he doesn't get on here. And he's like, okay, cool. So then we come back to Cam. He's like, all right, smooth sailing. Everything's going great. Nothing could possibly go wrong. And then he gets shot like 4 times with lasers. And he's like, oh, man, I'm shot with lasers. And they're like, Cam, you got shot with lasers. And he's like, I'm okay.
Yeah, I don't know why he was like, I'll just fly this ship into their ship. No cloaking or anything.
No.
It'll be fine if I just fly head on at them.
Well, we need all the power from the Soul Gem shards for the drills. So we can't divert any of it to cloak. So he basically drives into the front of the ship where they're looking out from.
But you can just make a cloaking device separate from the soul gems.
Yeah, probably could have, but he didn't.
Because they have that already.
Yeah, I mean, do they?
I don't know if they do. Vexicus does. I don't know if the Rangers do.
Yeah, that's true.
But like, I don't know. It's just... At least be ready. Put a laser gun on it or something. Right?
What I like is as soon as he's like, yeah, everything's in the clear, he gets shot. And then he's like, ah, beans, now I got to get closer. And so, well, you had to get closer before anyway. Now you're just being shot at while it's happening. So he has to, like, dogfight. But again, like you said, he does not have any weapons. So he's more like dog dodging. It's one dog fight and the other is like a gerbil or whatever.
Literally.
So he gets there and... Vexicus is like, hey, can I maybe make a suggestion that we send Corncobtron down there to fight the Power Rangers while this is happening so they can't help? And he's like, great idea. Glad I thought of it. And then he sends down Corncobtron, who is already big, so they have to go get in their Zords and fight. The Zord fight is a Zord fight. They can't really hurt him. He's very powerful. Corncobtron, too tough, too strong for them. So they don't really do anything to him. Eventually, Cam does pop a hole open in the energy field and then doesn't drive through it. He teleports out of his car, out of his drill ship, into the spaceship. Why did you have to drive the truck earlier if you can just teleport? You could have helped Hunter out like a little bit earlier and maybe avoided Motodrone for a little longer. I don't know. Eventually, he sneaks around. He finds the Boba ninjas. He does not take his helmet off even once. He doesn't have his helmet on when he's in the ninja ops, but that's not what you had a dream about.
I remember while I was laying there, I was like, it was just Cam's head, and it popped out of a hatch. And it was like a hatch on the roof, so he like popped his bare head into space, and I was like, oh, here we go again. And then I opened my eyes, and he was in the ship fully morphed. And I was like, oh, no, I guess this is fine.
I think your subconscious needs to give Power Rangers a little more credit than that sometimes. But again, to be fair, they haven't really earned it.
No, they did go space surfing with a child that did not have any protective equipment on at all.
Yeah, so
and the Ninja Turtles could apparently breathe nothing.
Well, they have mutant lungs, so they can breathe dark matter, apparently. So he finds the Boba Ninjas. There's some back and forth about what the plan is going to be. They're like, hey, I'm here. You need to teleport to my coordinates. And they're like, we can't. We're fighting Corncobtron. He's big and destroying the city, so we need to stop that. And they're like, okay, well, you should come anyway. But then Lothor and some Zaki show up, and he's like, ah, beans, never mind. So he starts fighting them. He goes into Super Samurai mode. Eventually, he gets overwhelmed and drops a little teleporty thingy, which is just like it's like a Ouija board. What's the mouse that you use with a Ouija board?
I can't remember what that thing is called.
Does that have the Ouija mouse?
It has a name.
Is it a it's not a flechette. That's like an arrow. Is it a...
It's like, it starts with a P. It's like a...
Planchet?
I think it's a planchet. I think that's
a
it.
A planchet. Doing that Google? I can see.
Yeah. Yep, it uses a planchet, small heart-shaped piece of wood or plastic, as a movable indicator to spell out messages during a seance.
During a seance on your Ouija board that you got from Target to summon the ghosts back with. So he drops that, he does like a flip, he gets it, teleports back only to his drill ship, and then turns around and I guess flies home. But then we cut back. He's like, oh, man, I was so close, but I didn't get it. And then he leaves. And then the Rangers are fighting, and they're getting beat up because Corncroptron is very powerful. And Cam, like, drop kicks him or something. And he's like, hey, I'm here just in time. And they're like, cool, we were getting sick of buttrock.mp3. Let's turn it into the good song. And he's like, yeah, let's do Hurricane Megazord. So they do the Hurricane Megazord. They put it all together. They Baja Blast him. He dies. And they're like, yeah. Then we cut to Moto Drone. And this is, it's half extremely dope. And then when you think about some of it, maybe the dumbest part of the episode. So Moto Drone is on his way to Lothar. And he's like, gonna make a report to Lothar. Gonna get Vexicus kicked out of class.
I'm bringing Vexicus to the papers.
I'm going to the papers. And so he's like, yeah. And then Vexicus just steps out back to Moto Drone. He's like, what are you doing there, Moto Drone? And he's like, I'm going to give this report to Lothar. And he just takes the report out of Moto Drone's hand. He's like, oh, what's this? Vexicus wants to take over the ship and is not actually on your side. Well, I can't let you give this to Lothar then. And Moto Drone's like, give it back. Moto Drone, couldn't you just go tell him instead? Like, do you need the paper?
Right. Well, yeah, because it's what the hell is that called when you bring it to someone and they put a stamp on it? Notarized.
Is it? Oh, it's notarized.
Yeah, he got it notarized, so it's official.
Okay. He fights over the letter for like longer than he needs to. Oh, and
he
then
doesn't just fight for this letter. He dies for this letter.
Yeah, instead of like running away to Lothar to be like, hey, Vexic is trying to take over, he's going to kill you. He's like, no, he'll only believe it if it's a report. You know how he is.
He's all about files and paperwork. You know, Lothar.
So they fight a little bit. He gets knocked down, and Vexicus is like, ah, scam! And Moto Drone's like, never. And so he melts him with a laser.
He just melts him alive.
He shoots him with a laser. Vexicus shoots Moto Drone with a laser so long that he dies, and then melts into a pile on the floor.
It's like a puddle, but you can still see like the vague shape of his limbs and head.
Well, what's great is that they did the work on this melted figure of Moto Drone, because like he's getting blasted right in the chest, right? So like the chest completely melts, the head melts, some of the arms and legs melt. But like the farther out you get from the center, the less melted they are. So like there are still like feet and hands kind of coming out of this pile. It's pretty gruesome.
It's brutal.
It's pretty dope. Then Mara and Capri just show up 1 second later, like, whoa, what happened?
They come in and they're like, ew, gross.
And he's like, Moto Drone had a little bit of a meltdown. And they're like, oh, okay, whatever. And he's like,
so at this
anyway,
point, if you're Lothar, in the next episode, when you're talking to Vexicus, you'd be like, hey, why'd you kill the guy I had watching you? At this point, if you don't realize what Vexicus's problem is...
I never even thought about that, but I can't wait to watch the next episode now and see if it is
like,
anything
hey,
like that.
I didn't tell you to kill Moto Drone, and then Vexicus could just be like, well, you had him spying on me. What was I supposed to do?
What do you want from me? Or he just lies. He's like, I didn't. He just... Look, Zergain made him, and he was faultily wired.
I think what's going to happen is he's going to take everything Moto Drone wrote about him in the report and just make it about Moto
Shimazu.
Drone. He's going to be like, no, Moto Drone was trying to take over the ship. He was disloyal to you, so I melted his ass.
I've got a report, so I melted his ass. I think I'm just going to call my shot. I think he's going to be like, actually, he just blew up regular style, and for whatever reason, Lothar will believe him. But then at some point, he will find the report that Moto Drone wrote about him. Be like, wait a minute. The guy who killed all my generals is lying to me? What? So Mara and Capri see this, and they're like, gross. And he's like, yeah, let's change the subject. Where have you been? And they're like, oh, you'll find out what we've been up to real soon. And they start, like, evil laughing. and it's like a big dramatic shot. But then Capri, like, her throat catches and she starts coughing. And I think the joke landed for me. I lulled. I did a chuckle.
Because they're stupid, you see.
Well, I don't know. See, yeah. Well, yes, I think that's what it was meant to be. But a lot of it, I think mostly it played as like, they're not very evil. Like, they're not good at being evil. Yeah. Evil.
They're like the Tommy Oliver of evil, where they could be swayed to good.
Yeah, exactly. So then he laughs back at them. And then I think we cut to Hunter back sitting on his rock, and Cam comes up, not his brother Blake. Don't worry about that.
It's a weird Blake's choice. Like, just a weird. They put Cam in a lot of places. I don't really feel like Cam has any business.
Yeah, more often than not, I feel like they could. There's anytime, like, a lot of the times Cam shows up, a lot of times it could have been someone different and it would have worked better.
Yeah.
But Cam comes up. He's like, hey, what's up? What are you doing? And he's like, I'm just sad all the kids are still boba. And he's like, yeah, but at least we know they're not dead. So, like, that's a plus. We didn't check or think about it till right now. But now we know they aren't dead. So that's good. I think he called the drill ship the Dragon Force, but I'm not sure.
He said dragon something. I'm glad that you also heard that.
So is the little drill ship with the two little hands called the Dragon Force?
Yeah. And when they pull it out, it's just Through the Fire and Flames or Fury of the Storm. I think they're the same song.
Hey, every Dragon Force song is the same song. It's technically impressive, but it's just scales. When you think about it, it's just really quick scales.
I heard.
Because they're dragons, you see.
That they're terrible live because he cannot consistently actually play that fast.
Yeah, I bet. I'm not surprised. There's a reason you haven't heard of them since Guitar Hero 3 dropped. Anyway, Cam's like, don't worry, soon we'll get those ninjas home. And then that's where the episode ends. And Josh, I started.
Yeah.
What's the best?
Well, you know.
I would love to. I would love to know.
It's, I don't know, it's tough. It's tough because I don't like to double up.
Okay.
You know? So I think the best...
I have a best.
What's your best?
Landshark.
That's what I was also leaning towards.
He just summons up his spaceship from underground and it street sharks at them, and it's radical. Also, melting moto drone was pretty great. I don't know which one I want to give it to.
He was, as from the time he stepped out to the time where he melted him to the floor, Vexicus was just a total badass.
Yeah.
Also a little bit like a keep away bully.
A little bit.
Like, he was just holding the scroll up where Motodrone couldn't
reach
it.
Come on, Joe, get it. Give me your milk money. I'll give your homework back. I'm gonna best Vexicus being cool this episode.
Okay.
I'm gonna best him being dope, finally.
I will best that confrontation between him and Motodrone at the end.
Okay. What's the worst?
The worst is Motodrone being given instructions to secretly watch Vexicus and then teleporting in front of him and fighting a fight for him.
And then be like, I'm secretly watching you. You better watch out.
Yeah, that's the worst.
I'm going to say the worst is... Isn't that...
Is that the worst, or is that just dumb enough to be fine?
That might be the worst, actually. Now that, because, like, all the other things I would worst, I think actually work in universe. That's the one thing where I was like, well, come on, Motodrone. What the hell, man?
Put that target on your back.
Yeah, like, you idiot. Like, he's known for killing generals, and you're like, well, but probably not me, right?
He can't kill me.
I'm a robot. I'm gonna worst Motodrone being a terrible spy.
I'm gonna stick with it.
Who's MVP?
Vexicus.
I'm gonna give it to Hunter.
Okay.
I think Hunter did the work this episode. I think his acting was pretty good. I especially liked him being, like, his reasoning for not telling them about the soul gems is, like, the longer you don't do it, the harder it is to bring it up. And, like, boy, that's the realest thing that maybe has ever happened on Power Rangers. Because, like, we've all been there.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to give it to Hunter. Now we got to rank it.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's not going to be in my Facebook Messenger app.
Probably. I mean, you could put it in there, but it'll just go to, like, Latasha, probably, or your mom.
Or my mom, yeah. Or my brother. Those are pretty much the three.
Yeah, just tell your brother, gem of a day. I think this episode goes kind of high.
I was thinking kind of middle. I immediately looked at Snippet Good. I feel like it's probably a better episode than that.
I think it's better than that. I think it's better than Shimazu's Return.
Okay, what about I Love Lothar?
I don't know if it's as good as I Love Lothar.
Okay, I'm the same. What was Nowhere to Grow?
Okay, so just real quick.
Is that the one that I think Snippet Good? Which one had the goofy scientist?
That's Nowhere to Grow. We've had this episode, okay. I think, 12 times. This conversation 12 times because you cannot remember this episode. Yeah, the Goosebumps dad scientist was Nowhere to Grow. Snippet Good was the peace conference or the environmental conference that he could turn you against. He could sever the ties that bind, which is way more meta and existential than this show should ever be able to accomplish. But it worked in that episode.
Other than being one quarter of Goosebumps episode, what happened in Nowhere to Grow?
I think one quarter is generous. I think it was about a solid third of Goosebumps, maybe a half of Goosebumps. Cam emailed Shane's sword. He emailed him a sharp.exe that he could run on his sword. The villain had a regular human lady voice, completely unprocessed. It was just like a regular voice.
I think this is better than that.
I think it's better than that. I don't think it's better than I Love Lucy.
I agree.
So coming in at the new number 9. Gem of a day. What's the next episode called, Josh? You still got the thing pulled up?
Should. It's Down and Dirty.
Ooh.
And that's...
It's probably about dirt biking, right?
Oh, yeah, I'm sure. I mean, dirt biking gets... For there being three different sports that the Rangers play in this.
Yeah.
Dirt biking gets a pretty big spotlight.
It does.
I feel like there's some kind of a bias. This is the last one, and then we're in finale territory.
Oh, jeepers. So two more weeks of the show, then.
Yep.
Yikes. All right. Well, we will see you on Friday for
Down and Dirty.
But until then,
may the power protect you.
I had to yawn and burp at the same time, and I feel like I almost imploded. I still need to yawn, but it's stuck like a sneeze now.
Oh, that's awful.
Yeah, I hate this. Hopefully it'll come out soon. Well, I guess we'll see.